This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Here are your hosts, Sean Green and Ryan Kramer.
I can't believe we're letting these guys on my network.
Welcome, everyone, to the Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. I'm Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan, Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Stacking some paper over here. We're back.
I see. We're already got the library out.
I haven't had a chance for the paper to touch my hands. It's good to be back in person in Vegas.
Yes. Awesome to be back. Thank you, VSiN, for having us back here for another season. So stoked. And Ryan, it kind of feels like back to school. We're kind of going in the same routine, running into the same people here, working the Circa, working the book, the coffee shop, behind the glass, saying hi to everyone. Welcome back.
Got a lot of how was your vacation? How was your break? And this is the vacation.
It feels like the first day of school, except I'm wearing the same clothes. I did not get new clothes.
And when people ask me that, I'm like, you must not have kids. Because the time I get to come here is 100% the vacation. I may be working now, but on vacation.
Yeah. And yes, it is a job, but it's an awesome gig, and so excited to be doing. Date night is canceled. Friday nights, we're back every Friday night, 10 o'clock East, 7 o'clock Pacific, right here on VSiN. So, I mean, Kramer, we've been doing it on the podcast. We're doing our 32 NFL team previews. I'm just so excited to just talk more NFL. Last week we kind of did a, hey, we're back. We have the Hall of Fame game. Sweated that out. That was a crazy finish. And now we did our week one picks podcast, picking every NFL game against the spread. Now this really feels like we're back. And then obviously we'll have college football week zero, we're back. And then NFL week one, we're back.
I did have someone slide into the DM saying he couldn't find another example of someone doing 95 minutes on the preseason week one. So,
well, and not to toot our own horn, Ryan, but off to a really good start here. Friday night action. I was 5-1 ATS. That was Thursday night. Yeah. 5-1 ATS. Friday about to close out 2-1. I did have the Miami laying the points. Unfortunately, Quinn Ewers just looked horrible out there, which is not surprising. When you can't really complain when you're betting preseason, go, oh my God, my quarterback really sucks. It's like, no, that's preseason. You have to factor that in. But Denver Broncos destroyed the Atlanta Falcons. That was just a complete smash.
All-star in the preseason again.
I think it's now 8 games in a row that Denver Broncos have won in the preseason. And I was sitting in the book. It was 3.5 when we first landed here. Then it got up to 4. I got in when it was at 4. And then it closed at 7. So the preseason movement, especially late here at the Circa, was pretty wild.
Yeah, I mean, usually you follow this team. This team got beat on Thursday. It looks like it's going to win. Well, I don't know. Where was this team on the Bucks game? I guess the number shortened up a little bit at the end.
It came down
to 5.5, I think, before kick.
When we landed, it was 7. Then it was 6.5, even money. Then it was back to 7 briefly, then 6.5. And you said it closed 5.5.
Yeah. And just another example of if you like the dog in the preseason,
sprinkle a little bit on the money line. Yes. I gave out Tampa Bay Bucks on the money line. Game looks like that's closing out here. And I'm guessing they're going to get a win unless they somehow pull this off on the last play. That to me was very surprising that the Jets were that big of a favorite against Tampa Bay. And one of our bread and butters, we're going to be breaking down all the Saturday games coming up here, big slate of Saturday. One of the bread and butters for me is always, hey, is there a mobile quarterback? That's always something I want to bet on here in the preseason. You saw Haynes King, what he did in the Hall of Fame game. But Jalen Daniels, and he used his legs a little bit. I thought he threw the ball pretty well, 2 very long drives. Used his legs a little bit, but he was looking pretty good there.
Yeah, the continuation bet on us playing Jalen Daniels to win the Heisman 3 years in a row coming through in preseason.
Well, yeah,
I think just in general, perhaps some of the people that grind the preseason aren't as savvy on the NFL, the mid-tier college quarterback. I don't know. I don't know what it is, because like the Haynes King thing was a little surprising how he was throwing, but those dudes are going to try to win the game, and they're not playing any regular season games.
No, this is their time to shine. And then also going back to coaches, obviously, which is it's not rocket science, but some coaches really seem to care about the preseason. I feel like Sean Payton early in his career didn't seem to care, but now as of late, he is really caring. And Ryan, I you know, from what I saw out of that Falcons Broncos game, now the I mean, the Falcons the Falcons were playing their starter. Tua is supposed to be their starter. I don't, they say it's not a competition. They say it's still a competition between Michael Penix, but Michael Penix isn't healthy enough to compete for the job. I don't think he's going to win it. And then what I saw from Tua was horrific. Tua did not look comfortable. And people go, oh, you can't take anything from it. It's a preseason.
Right.
And I think there's degrees of that, right? You don't look at the final score and go, oh, yeah, they did a really good job. But when you see Tua on the first snap of his Falcons career and he's just dropping the ball, his footwork is all over the place. He looks completely scared back there. He does not look confident coming back from injury. I'm willing to say, okay, I think that's something.
They're showing the replay of him dropping the ball as we're discussing this. I think, look, it's preseason. So when things are bad, you say it's preseason. And when things are good, you say, look at that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not a Tua stan. I have some investment on him to pass for a lot of yards this year. And I think the Falcons are a good buy in the division just based on the price. But I agree with you. Probably a little bit to do with, again, Denver's a team that brings it a little bit harder in the preseason. Maybe it's related.
Well,
defense ahead of offense. I got all these excuses lined up.
And I would say your case for the Falcons, we did the Falcons team preview podcast a couple weeks ago. And since then, we've been getting some obviously super bad news for the Falcons. Jalen Walker there, out for the season, blew out his ACL. James Pierce, who, I mean, I think we were factoring in he was going to be suspended, but 8 games, maybe that's a little better than they would have hoped. Where are you at with the Falcons since we taped the podcast?
I don't know. I still expect when we get down to the regular season, I still expect the offense to move the ball. And, yeah, I mean, the defense is going to be a problem. We'll see. Again, it's a new defense. Maybe it starts slow. Maybe they figure it out. But the division that they're competing with, which one of those teams has that great defense that's going to scare you? So a little bit of a shootout conference. I'll take their offense.
Yes. Other big news, at least when it comes to social media, everyone has just been completely clowning Jaden Daniels. We're not even allowed to say, coming up in, we're going to have to say 4 minutes, not 5 minutes, because there's just this running gag now of everyone making piling on Jaden Daniels, who he was mad and some sort of like potential, using my NIL. It seems, one, as someone who's fading the Commanders this season, this seems like a guy who's not locked in. I don't think that's a crazy take.
Oh, they're finishing 5-12 now.
No, 4-13. They can't use the 5.
Well, I think that's why they finished.
Oh, that would
five.
Be. You're right.
He's allowed to use the 5.
And that would be perfect if they only win 5 games.
I mean, look, this obvious. We've said this since he's come into the NFL. If you followed his college career, there have been steps along the way where he is questionable.
Yeah.
Whether you want to talk about the mom stuff,
it's odd.
Go all the way back to Arizona State and talk about the teammates.
I mean, imagine if I love my mom, but it would be kind of odd if I was giving my mom a piggyback ride through the VSiN studio.
Totally normal.
Yeah, I mean,
bring your mom to work day.
Sure. If your mom wants to come take some photos, I'm so proud of my son. But, she's not back there hanging out with Johnny going, put my son's audio. More close-ups of Sean, producer Johnny.
Just directing the show. Look,
I'd love to see my mom.
If you don't remember, it's worth people Googling his exit from Arizona State. You know, we love referencing Draft Day,
a
great movie about the NFL draft featuring Kevin Costner. And they always talk about the main quarterback character, Bo Callahan. Did people attend his birthday party? I don't know if Arizona State teammates attended his birthday party. Now let's zoom ahead to LSU, where he doesn't win anything that season.
No.
He puts up a lot of yards, a lot of stats, maybe because he's throwing to Malik Nabers and Bryant. Well, exactly. Stats.
Yeah.
And maybe because he was throwing to 2 first-round picks at receiver. And by the way, it seemed like LSU was enabling the stat padding. I didn't realize this, but apparently he played 4 quarters against New Mexico State that year, put up like 6 touchdowns. I just think we now have it confirmed. Jaden Daniels is not someone who is competitive. He doesn't want competition. I hate to say something nice about Michael Irvin, but a clip about him talking about retiring.
He had a great line about it.
And I just think when you act like greatness is owed, like when you act like something is owed to you because you think you're great, you're obviously not great. And to compare yourself to Joe Burrow, someone who set records statistically.
What a natty.
And won the national championship. And by the way, didn't lose any games that year. So, yeah, I mean, I love that he's on the Commanders. I love that that is a ticking. How fast before his camp is getting involved in the Commanders this year?
Yes.
How long before he decides he's not going to play because they have too many losses?
Well, and they're dealing with a bunch of turnover at the coordinator spot. It's never good when you see the head coach having to they're basically forcing his hand, requiring him to bring in a new OC, new DC.
Or was it Jaden Daniels?
Well, we'll see. But to me, and the biggest thing is the Laremy Tunsil injury. I mean, this is fun. It's fun to bust his chops here and make fun of Jaden Daniels, but Laremy Tunsil not being out there is huge for this Commanders team because now, and if you watch the preseason game, Marcus Mariota went out with a weird non-contact knee injury. So hopefully it's not an ACL, but it looked very odd in the preseason game. And then you look behind them quarterback depth wise,
Sam Hartman looks pretty good off the field.
Did not look amazing in that preseason game. They did get the win. They did get the cover, but the Tunsil thing, even from when we taped our preview podcast, obviously that's massive. That drastically changes what we can expect for the Commanders in my mind. Kramer, we got an awesome show coming up. We're talking college football, NFL coming up. I've seen enough.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Second Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
I was perusing the sheet, putting together some championships exactas for.
Rainy day. It is. It's great to just have the giant packet. Get a cup of coffee. Just get the pen out. Start working your way through all the sheets.
I was also going to start picking up some tickets. Of course, we're going to be back here for sign up weekend. Going to have some jackets that we're going to give away, and those jackets will have futures in the pocket. So,
Ryan, speaking of contest sign up weekend, also it coincides with College Football Week Zero. Love College Football Week Zero, and of course, a great time to get in, get that VSiN College Football Guide. I got some plays in there, the NFL betting guides. So much good stuff here with VSiN. And we're going to be talking to Colby Dan, get some of his college football plays. But again, get in $9.99. Are you out of your mind? Daily best bets, exclusive betting splits, full access to tools and data. But I mean, the college football guides are great. It is one of the best products VSiN puts out, and it's dialed in. It's a college football preview, but it's all about gambling, as you would expect. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Get in for $9.99 or 50% off VSiN Pro. VSiN.com/subscribe. Looking forward to talking to Colby Dan from the College Experience. Get his college football takes. Kramer, we came up with a new segment here. I've seen enough. Now, this is the idea here is, you're not supposed to overreact with preseason, but sometimes with preseason, the training camp, the news, you just have a point and you go, you know what? I've seen enough. Either you're confirming, something you've already believed as far as bets, or you're like, going the opposite way on it. I'll start. And again, don't want to overreact, quote unquote, to preseason football, but I was kind of skeptical about Cam Ward at the end of last season. Everyone who's optimistic about the Titans is just projecting this year to jump from Cam Ward of like, he finished the year really strong, number one pick overall. You bring in Brian Daboll, obviously he's going to get better. I know it's a week one preseason game, but going up against that 49ers, he was doing bad footwork, the arm release mechanics, those plays where you just, you see Shador is probably the most notorious for him, where you just keep running backwards. Like, that stuff does not work in the NFL. And he got a lot of starts last year And those mistakes we saw as a rookie were on display going up against the second string of the San Francisco 49ers. So for someone who is already kind of skeptical of everyone just penciling in Cam Ward to make this year two jump, I'm skeptical of their offensive line. Kramer is a Giants fan. You always point out Dable doesn't care about the offensive line. Cam Ward behind a not good offensive line, I'm skeptical of. And so, yeah, give me the Titans under 6.5 wins. Gave it out when we did our preview of the Tennessee Titans, but I feel even better about it. I've seen enough. I'm really skeptical about the Dable offense, and it's early, but I'm feeling justified here fading the Titans.
I don't even know if this is about Dable. In all of his career, he's done a really good job of just taking what the quarterback is comfortable doing and implementing that. We saw it with Jackson Dart and the Giants, early Josh Allen, same kind of thing. You're running a lot of these college concepts these kids are comfortable with. You act like Cam Ward didn't play the same way in college.
Yeah.
And that was we always talked about how his, even those swing passes, there were just these, the highs are high and the lows are low. And I think Carmen Brasillo, who Dable brought to Tennessee, is a fine offensive line coach. But in general, they never prioritized it in New York. So I don't know if I plan on seeing that for Tennessee. And then furthermore, it was like a dream team coaching hire this entire offseason. And that's the part that
Robert
also
Robert Sala, Brian Dable. Guys haven't won a lot.
So I watch what I saw with my eyes. And to your point, I don't think the Cam Ward thing is about, you know, it's early in preseason, the offense isn't fully installed. It's the way that he makes decisions on the field.
Yeah.
And so I'm with you. We were both on the under with the team preview, that one of the first team previews we recorded. And in general, to your point on like the information, we start doing the preview so early. Futures previews we're doing back in March, February. And just to see the process, I thought Tennessee might be an interesting team this year. But now as we're getting closer, it does seem like 6.5 is a joke of a win total. I might be looking
at all tier. The division should be pretty competitive.
To me, they're clear. Even if you don't like the Colts are clearly higher floor to them. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that this is a tremendously low floor team. And it's Robert Saleh, who, again, nice guy.
Better coordinator than coach is my take on Saleh.
Nice guy, never really gotten a bat. Like, a dysfunctional organization was not his forte in New York. And Tennessee, by all accounts, is pretty dysfunctional as well. So,
does he have a job because of Sam Darnold? Because I feel like Sam Darnold is an example where people go, oh, you can't judge him. He was on the Jets. And maybe Robert Saleh is riding the coattails of that, where like, hey, you can't judge Saleh. He was he's getting credit for taking the Jets to 7-10 when there was a lot of dysfunction.
He left, the defense got worse. So people were like, oh, there it goes.
Look at this. Look at the Rodgers stuff. Look at how Rodgers and that whole debacle with Saleh versus Rodgers and Tomlin. Look at it. Look at Tomlin, the way he managed Rodgers late in his career versus Saleh. Just one of the examples where I don't know if he's a great head coach.
And I'd say that's kind of like the theme this offseason. There are professional outfits and there are non-professional outfits.
Yeah.
And I think the Titans are going to look like a non-professional outfit.
Kramer, where have you seen enough? You're ready to call it.
I probably saw enough way back in whenever they hired Todd Monken. And then I saw enough when they didn't add anything to the quarterback room except for Taylen Green, a 6'6" dynamite prospect, but can't really throw the ball. Maybe it was watching Deshaun Watson play horribly and still manage to keep the first team position because Shador can't even line the team up. How is anyone taking the over on whatever their win total is? 5.5? Only thing I feel like, to me, I missed on the Browns and the Titans being worst team in the league. Bad.
Yeah.
And I think
floor is so low. And just when you got the information, we're breaking down these teams. And the big bullet point is quarterback battle between Deshaun Watson and Shador Sanders. And it's just crazy to think that they're gonna do anything.
Overreaction to news that we might not have gotten a decade ago. Todd Monken ending two practices in a row by ending the practice early and throwing his clipboard because Shador Sanders can't get the team lined up is out of control. I believe the stuff that Shador could be traded before the season. It does seem like it's going down a bad road, and it doesn't seem like they can touch Watson. No pun intended.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think team, what is it? Team approved.
I'm not touching Deshaun Watson.
Team approved masseuses only.
Yeah.
The floor is incredibly low. You lose Jim Schwartz and that defense, and it's chalky to fade the Browns, but you don't need to get cute. You're getting plus money on their under. And even as someone who's not quite as high on the Bengals and Ravens as maybe the rest of the market, the other three teams in the division should be very feisty. And the floor is so low with that quarterback play and the offensive line. It's tough to get excited there.
Not favored in a game until week 12. So
yeah, it's wild. Do you have another, I've seen enough, Ryan?
I mean, I'd say the Arizona Cardinals, I'll focus on them. It wasn't on our pre-game sheet, but I'll say this, just listening to people talk out here, it's amazing. People think they're going to have a great offense. People are acting like they're not one of the worst teams in the league. I saw the price on them to be the last winless team has gone back up to plus 285. What are we talking about here? They ran Love 14 times in the preseason.
He looked good, though.
Non-professional operation.
He looked good.
What are we doing here? Mike LaFleur looks like a baby on the sideline. There are so many things.
Yeah, I think the Cardinals are going to be bad, but I think they go over their 3.5 win total.
You're being enticed by the offense. You're like, oh, they got all these receivers, Brissett. Yeah, they had all that last year.
Sure. And again, I think they're going to be bad, but you can be bad and still win 5 games. Okay. But to your point, they do start out with a tough schedule.
I've seen enough. People are crowning Carson Beck. His rookie of the year price is plummeting.
Yeah, we got it at a good number.
I've seen enough.
I've seen enough with the protector of the year. Just give it to Lane Johnson. When Lane Johnson took some personal time off, and then he came back and announced this is going to be his last year, and it was 18-1. It's down at like 15-1. Circa as low as 14-1. There are 5 people picking protector of the year.
Yeah.
One of those guys is Jason Kelce.
Six guys.
So if this Lane is announcing he's going out with this year, if it's anywhere close, they're going to give it to Lane Johnson. And the fact that you can get anywhere from 15-18-1, Lane Johnson, protector of the year, smash it, Ryan.
Is he taking anything special this season?
Well, get through the last season. If you remember, Jason Kelce said Lane Johnson can't stay off the juice. What better way to show that Lane Johnson can succeed without the juice by giving him protector of the year?
Good luck.
Thank you. No luck's needed. Pave the lane. Hey, coming up next, we got our good buddy Adam Rosenberg from the PropCast. He's going to give out some of his favorite NFL futures, including a 400-1. Woo. You're going to want to stay tuned in. Sports Gambling Podcast Live on VSiN.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Sack and the Money Green with my partner in picks, Ryan. Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Just watching some of these preseason highlights, deciding what I'm going to discard and what counts.
I do. They're showing the Raiders highlights. The guy waving the Raider flag, which was like the pirate
flag,
but it was a Mendoza version with the eye patch. Mendoza with the eye patch on a Raider flag. I'm obviously not a Raider fan, but it was so dang funny. I might have to get it. So
that's something he would say.
Yeah, he wouldn't. We got to get Mendoza in studio because he has the perfect language.
Yeah, he won't curse.
And I said, I responded. There was a quote going around that he compared the Las Vegas Strip to that spooky haunted house that you stay away from. And I quote tweeted, I said, yeah, of course, Mendoza. You don't go to the Strip. You go to the downtown at Circa Las Vegas. So some bonus points with the boss here. Good times as always. Kramer, we're going to talk some props here. Who better to have on than one of the co-hosts of the PropCast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, Mr. Adam Rosenberg, joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Rosenberg, what's happening? How you doing football-wise?
I'm doing well. It's good to see you guys back in the studio where you belong. You look good.
Thank you. And Rosenberg is going to be out. We got a big crew coming out for contest sign up weekend. Again, come out, say hi to us. We're going to be doing our show from Media Row. We're going to be doing the VSiN show. We're going to be hanging out. Come sign up for the contest. Check out VSiN. Scott and Adam are going to be doing their show. So
get a firm handshake from
firm me. Handshake from Kramer. Giving away jackets. It's going to be an awesome weekend coming up in a couple weeks here. But in the meantime, Adam, you Kramer's been trying to pass off some of these plays as his own. So I thought we'd go right to the source and hear some of your favorite plays, including you got a defensive prop, which. Normally not on my market as far as like defensive player props. I'll play a little defensive player of the year or defensive rookie of the year, but you have a tackles and assist leader. What do you like in that market?
Before Adam go, I did on our podcast, I did say verbatim, I know nothing about this. This is from Adam Rosenberg. Anyway,
he did give me credit.
Yes,
he did. But it's great. 'Cause on the sheet that we share, you can see, you know, Anonymous Armadillo, which is, you know, Kramer, has highlighted the Edgerrin Cooper for tackles and assists leader at 40-1. So 118 combined tackles assists last year. So this is going into his third year where you could take a pretty big leap. And all I care about for this market, which I didn't know actually existed, but once I dove in, all I care about is that you're getting over 1,000 snaps. He played all but one game last year. Obviously, leader was Brooks, had 183. But if he goes from 7 to 8 tackles a game to 9 to 10, he's suddenly up there for this. You guys talked about it on the Packers preview, but this team could end up being in a lot of shootouts where there could be a lot of tackling situations and needs on their defensive side. So Edgerrin Cooper for 40-1 for tackles and assist leader, I think is a pretty fun market to jump into.
I love that play.
Great play. I'm going to co-sign Rosenberg's and Kramer's play.
It's Rosenberg's play that I'm in the sidecar for.
One, and we're going to be talking the Green Book has a subset of props called Fast Futures, which basically they created this new market where, hey, receiving yards leader, rushing yards leader, receiving touchdown, passing yards, basically instead of season long, just the first 3 weeks. Very fun market, very wide open for long shots.
And I have an update real quick. So Caesars is also offering a, they call it September, but it sounds like there are plans to, at least for Caesars, to do an October future forward. But just so everyone knows, September and 3 weeks are the same thing this year.
Okay, yeah, because kind of starting later, so good eye. And when you're price shopping, keep that in mind. Who do you like in the fast futures market, Adam?
So CJ and Kramer and I have pretty much destroyed this market over the last month and a half. But guy jumped out right away. Nico Collins, 30-1 to have the most receiving yards in the first 3 weeks. The schedule for the Texans, it's, they got Buffalo, Cincinnati, and then the Colts. And so, and all the totals on these games are 46. They're almost a pick 'em or within 2 for each of these games. So there's going to be a lot of opportunity for him to be able to, you know, get a ton of yards. The way I figure it, probably need about at least 300 yards to definitely be the person for this, which is something that you could do. So basically you're asking him to have a 100, a 110, like a 120, which is absolutely doable when two of these games are going to be inside. So Nico Collins, I'm pretty bullish on the Texans offense this year, even though, you know, we ended on a down note last year with CJ Stroud. Pretty bullish on their offense, especially with Tank Dell coming back. So Nico Collins, most receiving yards for the first 3 weeks at 30-1 is on my card.
Well, and honestly, it probably doesn't apply here for the first 3 weeks, but you're talking about being bullish on the offense. We've seen Davis Mills come in there and do as good, if not better at times in that offense. Now that was because of injury, but Kramer and I were breaking this down in the office. How long do you think that leash is with CJ Stroud? I think it's going to be decently long because if they're still winning games, and they're probably still winning games because the defense is so good, but Kramer, where are you at with what does CJ Stroud have to do to lose the job? If they're winning games, it feels like they're going to still keep them in there. But knowing that they have Davis Mills makes me feel better about betting some of these Nico Collins props or any of the other Texan stuff in general.
I do think the splits last year would tell you that Davis Mills might have been more of a target funnel to Nico.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think, yeah, I'm kind of more in the camp that I do think they would pull the trigger a little faster. If the offense looks horrible.
Yeah.
Now, again, maybe if they're winning games 13-10 and the offense looks like it did in the playoffs, I, I think there's going to be, because everyone's going to talk about it, and Davis Mills it will be
Daddy
fine.
Long Neck.
I think the leash is shorter than you, but they want him to succeed, so they're going to give him a little slack.
It's just tough if you're winning games to bench a guy like that. Rosenberg, I like to bust your chops when you bet things that aren't good for our Philadelphia Eagles. Do you have any positive Eagles bets you want to give out?
I do. So Eagles fans know this, but Jeffrey Lurie was pretty open about how embarrassed he was by the offense last year. He came down to the field, and when Jeffrey Lurie comes down to the field, that's bad news. So they cleaned house. Sean Mannion's in there, who seems to almost sort of be coach in waiting, but that's for another day. Passing offense should look better. The offense should look good across the board, but it should look a lot better. I'm taking Jalen Hurts 3,500 passing yards plus 175. He had 3,200 last year on what I would say is probably the worst offense in the league, non-Cleveland related. And all you're asking him to do for this is 206 yards a game, which if you're going to be running a whole bunch more guys in motion, you're going to be doing more stuff on your center. I think that this is extremely doable. People want to say a lot of things about the Eagles' schedule. Yes, they have some really bad rest spots, but they, generally speaking, their opponent quality is lower than it is last year. And they're not gigantic favorites in a lot of the games. They're field goal or around field goal, so they'll be competitive in doing this. So yeah, Jalen Hurts, 35. I'm not asking him to throw for 4,000 or 5,000 or do something crazy. I just need him to throw for 3,500 yards, and I'm getting it at almost 2-1.
Yeah, and we'll probably hit on him when we talk fast futures or maybe even Devontae Smith. You look at the first three games the Eagles have at home against the Commanders, on the road at the Titans, and then at the Bears. Very porous pass offenses, or sorry, pass defenses. If the offense hits early, that's going to be interesting. And 3,500 does feel pretty manageable there from a boy, Jalen Hurts. This one, though, we did the tease. Great radio work by the show here. Teasing your 400-1 bet. What are you doing 400-1, Rosenberg?
I assume that the man in the box is on this as well. This just felt like CJ came into my body as I took this bet. But
well, careful, Parker. This is a make sure we keep our language clean.
You were possessed by CJ.
Yeah, come on.
Possessed by CJ. Yeah. That's right. Parker Washington 400-1 for offensive player of the year. When Travis Hunter got hurt and they started getting injuries, he got all the target share and he just blew up and. He's in year four on this team. All you get notes from on camp is how much the connection between Trevor Lawrence and Parker Washington is there. He led Jacksonville after Travis Hunter got hurt with 640 yards receiving. Look, Jacksonville again, they're like a pick'em or a little bit less in all their games. If they go the right way and he suddenly has like an explosive 1500 yard year, 1200 yard year, he's absolutely in that. 401 is a crazy number for the guy who's getting like the biggest target share and is the greatest connection with the quarterback.
Yeah, they're saying he's just destroying camp. Also worth noting, we learned that Brian Thomas is going to just run 9 routes now. He can't run over the middle. That was they learned last season that he doesn't like running over the middle.
That is not a good sign. No, Parker Washington. I mean, if Parker Washington breaks out and has a bunch of receiving yards and touchdowns, why would he not be in the mix?
If his name wasn't Parker Washington, his odds would be shorter.
Definitely. And you know, that does hurt you in the awards market.
Parker, come on.
Good stuff, as always. Check him out over on the podcast, Adam Rosenberg. When we return, Rookie of the Year, I got 100-1. I just bet here at Circa. Tell you all about it. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN.
This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back, everyone. Sports Gambling Podcast live here on VSiN. Sean Sack in the morning. Green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer?
Offensive, defensive rookie of the year, maybe the best of the bullet. The dart throw markets there are because I feel like offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year. I always talk myself into some fun long shots. Feels like rookie of the year, you actually have more of the opportunity.
Yeah, the offensive and defensive player of the year, yeah, you have to be on the radar a little bit.
Kind of, but you also just it because of how it gets how the prices get made, which is essentially like where were you drafted, what's the hype around you, it creates short prices on guys that I think maybe have a harder time to get there.
Kramer, shout out to a new sponsor, Ungambled. That's right. Most people think betting sports is just about picking winners. Ungambled is built on a different idea, match betting and arbitrage. Arbitrage, great. Obviously, it's a tool that teaches you how to use sportsbook bonuses and promotional offers to capture value, whether or not your side covers, and Ungambled backs it up. If you don't turn a profit on your bankroll in 8 weeks, they refund your membership. That's a guarantee I like. To learn more, start with the free guide at ungambled.com/VSIN. That's ungambled.com/VSIN. And use the promo code VSIN for 10% off. Bet sharp. Look square. I think I look square, Ryan. I got a square look.
What happened?
I don't know. I was trying to roll with the look square.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Not the first time someone's called you a square.
That's why I got to use Ungambled. Ungambled.com/VSIN. Kramer, I know you're chomping at the bit. Offensive or defensive rookie of the year? Where are you going?
Defense. Let's start there. What's the game? Sacks?
Yep.
Maybe tackle guys.
Now, last year was, to me, that was a kind of an outlier, right? The Schlesinger with the Browns. The defense was really good. And he got a ton of stats. He had a ton of tackles. It's rare for a guy not getting sacks. Usually it goes to an edge rusher that's getting some pressure and sacks.
Yeah, so since 2012, and I'll go back there because Luke Kuechly just got inducted into the Hall of Fame when he won the award.
Yeah.
Crazy how young he is. But since him, only Shaq Leonard in 2018 and last year Carson Schlesinger in 2025. And I think we saw early, right, there was a lot of people quick to buy C.J. Allen and Jacob Rodriguez as those two guys dumped into a defense that maybe is going to see a lot of volume. C.J. Allen gets hurt. We see Jacob Rodriguez's price just completely plummet because he's going to be on a bad defense. He could really rack up the tackles.
Yeah.
But I'm more of a sack guy. And we'll go to the Clemson guys. There was a lot of talk about them in the draft cycle because of how bad the team was and how many draft picks there were. You asked me before we went live, what's the buzz on T.J. Parker? I don't think there's been a ton other than the fact it does seem like he's part of the plan. When you hear the old heads talk about him, they talk about him in a very positive way. Ed Oliver, during one of his interview availabilities, went on to say that he's a cheat code. He's got incredible power. The Beat has noted that he's been very heavy-handed. It reminds me a lot about what people are saying about Orville Reese. Like when he runs into a lineman, that lineman goes backwards. And so he's going off at 55-1 still, Sean, for defensive rookie of the year. He's on the Bills. He's going to have opportunities to rush the passer. I don't think he has quite the help that some of these other young rookies do have that might help them get better counting stats. But if we finish the season and he's the stat leader on the Bills or the sack leader on the Bills, that wouldn't be totally surprising. So playing a ceiling outcome at 55-1, I like that.
Yeah. So like that. R. Mason Thomas. No.
What's that?
Sorry.
T.J. Parker. But yeah, we can talk about R. Mason Thomas.
Because I know he's also on your list there.
He's on the same. It's the same thing. He was 100-1. He's down to 75-1. And you're taking along. This is a little different because it's the Chiefs and there's a little bit more moving parts. But you have Chris Jones in the middle there, which means you're going to have opportunities. And again,
eating a lot of double teams.
You know, we're chasing guys who could maybe have a sack impact that doesn't maybe match their production, doesn't match their pressures, but they're getting home enough. And again, in this case, it's the Chiefs. And so this is kind of more of an optimistic look on the Chiefs, which candidly, I'm not totally there, but I like this as an edge outcome as well.
Yeah, for me, I like Akeem Mezidor. Again, when we did our futures podcast, he was 17-1. He's dipped down 13-1, 14-1. I still think that's as low as I'm going to go chalk wise in the defensive rookie of the year, because I think it's you know, somewhat wide open here. And Mezidor playing on that Chargers team who needs some help with pass rush. You got an aging Khalil Mack, and you look at some of their games where they're huge favorites, you expect that passing offense to be clicking in the offense in general. That creates some awesome situations for a guy like Akeem Mezidor. And then early returns, again, preseason, but In that Texans game, he was looking like he was putting up some really good film on some of his pass rushes. So if he can get you like 8-9 sacks, Akeem Ezidor, 13-1, 14-1, I think it's a good price.
And then one more in that same vein is Cassius Howell.
Yeah.
You got shop this one because there are some off market prices out there. The consensus is closer to 30-1. There are still some rogue 50-1s out there. Same kind of idea, right? He's going into a great defensive structure. And while, you know, it's likely he has help, right? You have a pretty strong defensive line. There was a lot added to that. And so Cassius Howell fits. It's again, I'm just chasing these guys that could end up with 8-9 sacks and be in the mix here.
All right. What about the offensive rookie of the year? Obviously, for the most part, very quarterback heavy, although Ted McMillan won last year. Sure.
Big banger. Well, we don't know what's going on in the quarterback situation in Cleveland. Any chance that Todd Monken says, I want a mobile guy and plays Taylen Green? He's 250-1, Sean.
Yeah. I mean,
we think the team's horrible, but is it worth an investment? Is that the way you play a positive Browns? They have to win some games. That's the tricky part.
Yes. To me, if you're going triple digits for a quarterback, can I steer you over to the Pittsburgh Steelers with Drew Aller, who was just dealing last night? And the quote coming out of Mike McCarthy, I wrote it down so I could quote it exactly like a great journalist. When we drafted Drew, we felt like we were getting a first round pick. All of that is holding true. So the situation, I think, is really good for him with the Steelers. Now, obviously, he's behind Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers is a 42-year-old quarterback. Mike McCarthy did bring in Drew Aller. They drafted Drew Aller. So right now he's third on the depth chart behind Will Howard, but I would not be surprised if he ends up closing, you know, when the season starts, if he's number two. And in the same way, we saw our good buddy Tyler Shuck go on a bit of a run late. Let's say the Steelers are 4-4, Aaron Rodgers gets banged up, and then Drew Aller leads him to 6-3, gets him into the playoffs. To me, I'm just fading some of the chalk here. Jeremiah Love, obviously he's in this like weird backfield by committee. I get why he's the favorite. I do like Jadarian Price there, but the price has gone so low. He's also banged up there a little bit.
Also, that's
Mendoza, I don't know how many games he's going to start. So, and Carnell Tate relying on Cam Ward and the quarterback situation. Mekhi Lemon, who I like long term, he's missed a ton of time with the hamstring. Stripling has now become kind of one of the early favorites there at 20-1. So I would rather take a shot here at Drew Aller. I mean, Drew Aller at 100-1 versus Carson Beck 22-1. That to me is pricing inefficiency, and I'll happily take Drew Aller 100-1 right here at the Circa. Got a little piece of it earlier.
It does. You know, last year was kind of the dream scenario for long shots because no one really wanted it.
Yeah.
Like you said, you just highlighted why none of these guys are overly exciting. Even Love, even Tate, you know, every one of them, there's a reason why. Oh, maybe they won't have all the work to themselves. Maybe they're not going to show out. And so, yeah, I think you can absolutely take some dart throws and, but I do think like Caleb Douglas, right? Just made a nice flash in 80-1. Zachariah Branch, 85-1. You have these guys that are going to be involved in offenses. Malachi Fields might be the number two in New York, 110-1. Denzel Boston, been showing out in Cleveland, 38-1. They all have something in common. People are uncertain what they're going to be, what the team's going
to
be.
Yeah, again, of those guys, Douglas to me is interesting because of those quarterbacks that you're relying on to get you the ball. I feel the best about Malik Willis.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you think I'm crazy, but Malik Willis is better than Tua, better than what they have in Cleveland.
Can we flex on a CLV play real quick?
Because when I was a guest on Follow the Money, I gave this out and I know you were on it as well. Kalen Black, right?
Yeah, I got it down 150-1 a couple months ago and it's all the way down to 60-1 here at Circa. You can still find 100-1s out there. Yeah, he's the backup. He's dealing with some injury stuff, but he's the backup to Christian McCaffrey and it does seem like the team likes him. So again, what if Christian McCaffrey trips to Germany this offseason? Don't hold. And, you know, the tissue is torn apart. 400-plus
touches Christian McCaffrey had last year. Not even making a substation joke, but 400-plus touches. Every time he's done that, he has not played a full season the next year. And yeah, and he's older than obviously he was in those other seasons.
Yeah, yeah. And but the trips to Germany are new, though, so who knows?
Yeah, yeah, getting some blood spinning. God knows what he's doing over there in Germany. Kramer, when we return, picking every preseason game against the spread. This is the Sports Gambling Podcast live on VSiN.